were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. One went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. The king of Syria said to go, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, or $500,000 in our day's revenue, and 10 changes of raiment. Took him 10 new Ralph Lauren suits with him. Amen. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this king's coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to you, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And he's a pretty smart man in verse 7. Came to pass. Matter of fact, I wish the leadership of our country had this kind of common Bible sense. Come to pass, when the king of Israel read the letter, he read his clothes, said, "How in the world can I do this? Am I God?" He said, "I can't do what y'all asking me to do." He said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? This man to send him in to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." It's an insult. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, I like that in the Bible. Glad it's still a few men of God in the Bible. He heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. And he stood at, been reading a lot about a chariot lately. Came with his horses and his chariot. And then he said this, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." I wish we had the faith of Elisha. We know what will work, but we ought to have some faith in what works. He said, if you just go do what God said do, you could get some improvement in your life. Is anybody glad they saved on a Sunday morning? Boy, it's not just hearing the Word, but it's applying the Word. So Elisha sent a messenger, and he said, "Now you go wash." And verse 11, but now Naaman had an attitude. He is wroth. And he went away sad. And this is what he said, reading in his little chariot. "Behold, I thought." Well, it ain't what you thought it was. That felt so good, I won't say it again. It ain't what you thought it was. Matter of fact, it ain't what men you think, it's what this book says this morning. Then he said this. Well, he thought he would surely come out to me because I'm somebody. Wished I had me an hour to preach on somebody wanting their preacher to be a little hill ham. When we pull up, we think you ought to bow down to us. Well, I like folks like Elisha. He is worried more about God than anybody else. I know a lot of congregations want their little preacher to bow down to them. Ain't Sally got a toenail needs to be fixed? Well, take her to the doctor. Don't get quiet on me. We thought our preacher was supposed to do what we thought he's to do. I'm still all right on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, he ain't the first preacher's let the air out of somebody. Matter of fact, if a man would go to preaching, he'd let the air out of a lot of stuff. "He'll surely come out to me. I'm big. Man, I'm full of myself." I know a lot of Baptists full of themselves. come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not abandoned, Farfar, rivers of Damascus where I am better than what y'all got? He said, may I not wash in them and be clean? No, you can't. So he turned and went away in a rage. He had him a little Baptist pooch. I've seen some of them, Brother Marshall, leave off the porch on Sunday morning because it didn't happen the way they thought it was supposed to go. Because their preacher wasn't on a leash. A lot of folks love to snap a Baptist preacher in the nose. And when he's done, bring him in a little room and critique him. I'm glad I ain't got a report in to nobody to see if I offended anybody this morning. Is everybody all right today? Matter of fact, if you can be offended, you think too much of yourself. Boy, I know Naaman was a Baptist because I pastored him a long time. And the Bible said he went away in a rage, talking about the... You might well be seated, just talking about the preacher on the way home. Matter of fact, when they sat down in the restaurant, the preacher was the conversation. Amen. I know some folks would rather chew on a preacher than eat chicken for their Sunday dinner. Somebody say amen. Y'all ain't with me this morning. I'm trying to get my microphone fixed, just getting warmed up. And I done offended half of y'all. Well, the story goes on. It's going to pick up from here. And his servants came here and spake to him and said, my father, verse 13, and they had some good common sense. If the prophet had bid you do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then, boy, ain't you glad you got some folks between you and the preacher that's heard the preacher better than you have? A lot of times I heard the preacher, but I didn't hear the preacher. But I'm glad as some people sat around and heard the preacher. He said, now Naaman, think about it. If he asked you to give him all that gold and silver you brought in that chariot and them 10 Ralph Lauren suits, would you not have done it? He said, yeah, why, sure I'd done. That's why I brought them. He said, well, why don't you listen to the preacher? I want to ask y'all some, why don't you listen to the man of God? God, let me be born to what I'm doing this morning. Pensacola was just a stopping place for me. Just getting me ready to be here with you. Now, I wonder why some of you won't listen to the man of God that He's put in your life. He said, if He just asked you to do something great when you had done it and got cured, well, sure it would. Matter of fact, maybe he was thinking it's just too easy. There's a lot of people saying, well, now I'd get saved if I could live it. Well, you'll never get saved because you can't live it. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm glad the only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Christ. The day that we believed, He moved in us. Now when God sees us, He sees His Son and not us. Glory. I'm glad it's still the blood this morning. He said if He hadn't asked you a hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? And he went down, dipped himself 7 times. In Jordan. Not around Jordan. Not near Jordan, but he got in Jordan. Jordan, picture of dirty Calvary. I'm glad, honey, it's not enough to get around Calvary. Not get near Calvary, but you got to get up in Calvary. I'm glad he told him where to go. He said, I don't know why you want me to come out and do something. I can't do nothing, but I know a man that can. He said, behold, now
I know. Now I know what you're talking about.
Now I know why everybody else is shouting out around Jordan. Now I know why.
Because I'm clean. I'm glad He still saves those sinners.
And this morning I'm interested in this little maid's phrase. What she said in verse 3, she said to her mistress, one she was reporting to, "I would to God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." I want to preach today on "I know a man that can." I don't know a church that can. I don't know a religion that can. But I know a man that can. I want you to notice, first of all, there's a man to be considered. Now we see his position. He was a captain of the host. Boy, he was a high-decorated man. He was sort of over the whole army of Samaria. He held high esteem in the eyes of the king. And therefore his position, he was captain of the host. And then you'll notice in verse number 1, his preference. He was a great man to his master. His master thought a whole lot of him. Then his praise in verse 1, he is an honorable man. And then notice this, "For by him the Lord had given deliverance." We see his performance. Now, I'm glad that it's in the Bible that he didn't do it by himself, but the Lord. Be careful to always remember this, that it's not you doing nothing, it's the Lord using you to do something. Don't get to thinking too high of yourself now, because we're nothing without Him. Remember, Jesus said this, "Without me," listen to me, boys, "without me, you can do nothing." I don't care how big this church gets. I don't care how high you climb on the corporate ladder. It ain't about you and it ain't about me, honey. It's about what He's doing with us in this day and this hour. And He deserves all of our praise. People love to get accolades of the flesh. They love to pump and prime the flesh. Boy, I'm going to tell you, they went out in battle. I'm going to tell you why he had great victories, because the God of victory. And I'm going to tell you the reason me and you are blessed this morning. It's not because of who we are, it's who we have. I was sitting at a corporate table one day with a board of directors. I had a real successful plant. They looked at me and said, "We want to ask you something, preacher. How are you so successful at this place of business?" And I simply did this, Brother Chris, Brother Mike, I said. And they said, "Oh, we know you're a preacher and you go to church." I said, "I ain't got time to tell y'all about all this. But I can tell you one thing, I know what I can do. And it was a great day when I realized what I can do. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing." Some of you better go to getting the wheel back in balance or it's going to run off in the ditch. We can't do it without Jesus. We live in a society and a world where you be quiet about Jesus. You can't be quiet about Jesus, because from Him everything has its being and everything flows from Jesus. And I can't be quiet about Jesus. Well, you need to be quiet about Jesus. You're going to offend somebody. See ya. See ya. Honey, let me tell you, Jesus spoke this thing in existence. Jesus is holding these walls together today. Jesus gave us that big offering last Sunday. That wasn't me and you. You can't tell me these people right here is doing everything that this ministry is doing. It's Jesus. Jesus is still doing great things with little people. But you notice this. Evidently, he hadn't read the Bible because he got to thinking too much of himself just a little bit. He said, "Now wait a minute. I done pulled up down your house. You ain't seen these medals on my coat. You ain't seen this chariot I pulled in. Man, that thing's a Jaguar. It is nice. It is decked out to the bone. It's got bling. It's got 22s on it. You ain't seen it." You ain't seen my ride I pulled up in. You not seen how decked out I am. What's your issue? You want to come out on the porch and talk to me.
Old man of God sent his servant, said, go tell him. Go wash. Boy, we see how honorable he was. Then we see not only his position and his preference and his performance, his promotion, he was a mighty man of valor, but he had a problem. Verse number 1, the Bible said, but, he inserted it, but he was a leper. You see, the lowest slave wouldn't change skin with him. You listen to me. You may be here today, and you may be Miss Got Rocks. You may be Mr. Moneybags, but let me tell you something. What I'm talking about to you today can't be bought. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. You know, from this text, it ought to let us know God cannot be bought and God cannot be bribed. But he was a leper. The lowest slave that was out in the ditch bank working for a day's wage wouldn't change skin with him. I wouldn't trade what I've got this morning. Listen to me. I say a lot of times, we ain't got nothing. I got more than I deserve. I got more than what I come to Georgia with. God's blessed this boy. You hear me? God has blessed the far out of me. In spite of me, God has blessed me. But I wouldn't trade places with a man that owned everything in this world that was lost. I'd rather be saved. Do you listen to me? It ain't nothing wrong with being goal-oriented, and I think a person needs some goals and needs some guts. Amen? And needs some going toward the mark. But let me tell you something. If I was in a pair of overalls and Brogan shoes today, I got something money can't buy. And thank God I got something water won't wash off. Because I'm saved. Washed in the blood of the darling Lamb of God. So we see a man and his condition. Number 2, ladies, watch this point, please. Not only a man, but now we see a maid in verse number 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies, by armies, and they went out and they brought back from Israel, back to the Syrian camp, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Little in capacity, but filled with God. Maybe when she looked at Naaman, she was just waiting for the chance to say, I know a man that can. Next time you see somebody that you think that maybe you couldn't be like, you just remember this. I know a man that can. Next time when you get to thinking that your marriage is too hard to be put back together, you might ought to have the attitude of this little maid. I know a man that can. Hey, you may think God's done with you. Let me tell you, you need to chunk out and go on for God and say, I know a man that can. Now we see a maid in her providence. You see, first of all, we see her capacity. She's little. Then we see her character. She waited on Naaman's wife. And her consistency. You see in verse number 2, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Her character. She waited on Naaman's wife, but her consistency. You see, we are who we are when we are by ourselves. She was a long way from her homeland, but you know what? She had never got over the fact that she knowed a man that can. I wonder would God have anybody here in a place they didn't want to be? But I wonder, could it be providence that God has placed you there that you may point somebody else to this other man? I can tell you this, she didn't want to be away from her mom and daddy, young girls. She didn't want to be jerked out of everything she knew, but she didn't have a bad attitude. The Bible teaches us, let us be content in whatever way we find ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want to whine a little bit and move on. I don't want to be in line for this surgery, but I got to be. Now, I can kick and scream, and it ain't going to make no matter. It's just like that surgeon looked at me last week. He said, "Preacher, I'm ready when you're ready." I said, "I ain't ready." And I know a lot of y'all say, "Well, that's a minor surgery. You ought to go and get it done." Well, the reason is because it ain't with you. Then it'd be major surgery. But it's minor if it's me, see. And see, I can sit around and I can pout, "Oh, pitiful me. Why in the world have I got to be broke down about 12 weeks, pastoring the church that's doing something for God, preaching meetings, trying to do something. I've quit my job, God. Now you're going to tear me down on that stretcher again." I don't know about y'all, but it's bad. A lot of y'all say you're whining. Well, come on and go with me then. You know, when they get you about halfway to sleep, and they slide you up, Brother David, to that metal table in there with all them lights, and my Lord, it is about 32 degrees below zero. And they got this little old basket sitting up there at the end of the table, and they say, "Now, if you can, just ease yourself over on this and put your head in that basket." And then lights go out. And then you wake up like this. Now, I whine all day about that. But I just wonder, is it providence? I just wonder, do I not have to go through this? Do I not have to be here in order to go there? I wonder how many times she could have whined, "God, I'm in a bad place." Maybe we ought to quit whining. We may ought to thank God that everything is good as it is. Hey, I know some folks that love to trade places with you in the morning. Man, Brother Adam said it right. We live in a generation. We don't think nothing about eternity. But eternity's too long to be wrong. 10 minutes eternity. We go to Longhorn to eat. They give you that little blinking light. Says it's a 40-minute wait. You can have that thing, bud. 40 minutes. Are you crazy? This is America. My Lord, you can go out and kill a deer, skin it, and cook it in 40 minutes. But we want it now. We want it today, now. No downtime, now. Make everybody else get up out of the restaurant and let me sit down. Because it's me, it's me, it's me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Make him get up. Anybody ever feel like that? Make them get up. Man, why are we waiting out here in this boiling? Anybody ever been to Gumpo's, Douglasville, Georgia, Highway 5 behind the railroad track? Would anybody just raise their hand if they've ever been there? Let me tell you what it does. It will make you smack somebody. I tell you what, I'll challenge you. You go there Friday night at 5:30, pull up and see if you can get a seat. And it's the hottest sun, brother. The sun is setting over there and it's just a beaming on that side. You got a block wall you lean up against and you got a concrete wall you're standing there. And then you just feel sweat going down your britches leg. I hate summertime. I wish everything's fall and spring, about 67 degrees. Can I get a witness? But ain't no sense in us arguing about it. The God of heaven's got it all set for it. And He's too good to make a mistake. He makes no mistake. There ain't nobody down in Bowden this morning wanting to wake up with cancer today. No lady woke up last night wanting her husband to walk out on her. None of us signed up for what we have. But I tell you what we can do. We can make the best out of what we got. I don't see no place she's whining. She's making the most of what she's got. Wouldn't that change our world if we just make the most out of what we got?
Man, she's just a servant. She's just doing as she's been raised. So don't you know she had a good mama and daddy? Let me tell you, honey, the schools in Bowden, Georgia didn't teach that kid that because they couldn't have no Bible to teach her that. I know we got good teachers, but it's a sad day, honey, when a school teacher can't open up her Bible and say what thus. It's a sad day. I don't know if anybody's been reading the newspapers or not, but it's a sad day in America. I can fly 8,000 miles to the Philippines and the principal will greet you with a loud horn and say, students, this man's come over here to tell you about his God. I want you to listen to what he's got to say. Now the Philippines are sending missionaries to America. We see this little maid. Listen, she ain't very big. Boy, she did big things. Matter of fact, I wonder how much more we'd go to getting done and we'd quit whining and go to thanking God about how good it is. There's a man, I was in rehab this week, and boy, he put some light on this verse for me. Miss Hansel, I don't know what his name is, but you tell him I preached about him this morning. Tell him to tune in, tell him to listen to this sermon. I sat in there whining, and he said, hey, at least you ain't got cancer. And some of you do. Some of you buried children. Some of you buried grandchildren. Just because we're saved don't mean that we're immune to heartache and trouble. But hallelujah. Ain't you glad you got somebody to get into trouble with you, glory to God. I know a man that can. I know a man that can this morning. Oh God, I'm glad I know him. Where was all this liberty last Sunday? I'm going to kill myself this Sunday. Oh, I'm glad I know him. Do you know him? She said, I'm in a bad situation. But she's focused. It sounded like to me she's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of her faith. Maybe she's in a bad place and she's just looking up. And when she heard, she said, I know a man that can. You say, preacher, you going to go get that operation Monday? I hope not. But I'm going to quit whining about it. And it's what I've said in my heart. Pray, God, I went to LaGrange the other night, Brother Adam. I come out of church out there, I nearly fell in the parking lot praying. I said, God, if I've got to, God, if I just got to, I want to magnify and glorify you through it all. If I just got, God, if this has got to be a cross, then help me to bear it. I loved her, no attitude. It's the kind of people I love to be around. You ever been around people just full of belly aching all the time? Man, you just get tired of being around people. They pull you down, don't they? My wife used to tell me, she ain't told me in about 2 days. She said, you need to put on your big boy britches and move on. Boy, it could be worse, couldn't it? No matter where we are, it could be worse. I had a brother 55 years old 2 years ago. Brother Leon, he got short breath. Just building additions. Went to the emergency room. Got a chest x-ray. The doctor came out, shook his head, said, you need to go see your doctor. Went and seen his doctor, read the x-ray. He said, Jerry, you better be getting your stuff in order. You may have 3 months to live. 55 years old. It don't take far to look. It could be worse. Matter of fact, if we'd go to thanking God and we'd go to pointing folks to our Christ in the midst of our situation, let me ask you, why wouldn't she whine? Wouldn't she have a right, maybe?
when life finds you, it's been hard on you. I guess sort of we got a little right to whine, but she didn't take a right. I wonder how influential she was. I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, Brother Dave said when we get to heaven, he's going to see Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be an old boy around there called Naaman. And I bet he's sitting over there with his arm around a little old maid saying, "Hey, I'm glad I met the girl told me I know a man that can. I'm glad I met somebody that told me about a man that can." Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know which one of them got there first, but I guarantee you they are highly acquainted this morning. You say, "Hey, what are they doing in heaven today?" I don't know. I just know a lot of things they ain't doing. Come on, Miss Sherry, they ain't hurting no more. Thank God they ain't hurting no more. Boy, this sermon's took a whole nother direction. The man, the maid, the message, it's what he said. He said, "You want to get rid of how you are? If you'll go to Jordan, dip 7 times, 6 wasn't enough." You know what? It acquired obedience. He is so full of pride, just like some of you. Some of you will never get saved with his pride on you. Pride is one of the top 7 things God hates in the book of Proverbs. You'll never get saved full of pride. We're never more like the devil when we're filled with pride. That's why the devil was cast out, the book of Ecclesiastes and Ezekiel, because of his pride. He said, "I'll exalt myself throne above the stars of God." God said, "No, I won't be your co-pilot. No, we're not going that route." He throwed him out. A third of the angels fell with him. Why? Because of pride. Now, I want to ask you something. What if he had only been half obedient? There's only one thing, if you'll think about it, and I'm closing. One is obedience and the other is disobedience. It's not half obedience, because if you're not fully obedient, it means you're disobedient. He turned around and started back home mad. That old time religion. Go dip 7 times in Jordan. Man, everybody else is having new ways. Why can't we do this and do that? Because it requires faith. He started turning his chariot around, all his silver, just mad at the preacher. Somebody said, "Hey, you might ought to think about what that man told you. You might ought to think about you could get healed if you'd do what he told you." He said, "If he asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it?" He said, "Yeah, I would." He said, "Well, won't you just do simply what he said? Go dip in Jordan 7 times. I could see him. He turned that chair around, pulled up down there by Jordan. Just a little old bitty running creek. It's not very big, but it's real nasty looking. He looked and he said, "Now, aren't the rivers back home better than this?" That's a lot, Brother Jake, like these New Age churches. All these drama teams and all this formal business going on. And all this entertainment. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not. No, it's not. Somebody said the message stayed the change, but we changed the method. You better leave the method alone. You chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I know a boy that changed the method in 2 Chronicles and he died on account of it. He told them to carry the ark with staves. The priest was to carry. They put it on a wagon and the oxen stumbled. You say, reached and touched it and he died. Sound like to me the method changed. A lot of boys trying to change the method with this book. There's one way to the gate and that's Jesus. And that's Jesus alone. Jesus, your best friend. Brother Troy Massey, I looked last night over some sermons trying to brush up and think. And I seen the sermon I preached that morning
when you got saved. Jesus, the friend of sinners. I think it was in 05. The method ain't changed. And the message ain't changed. He said, go dip. Boy, I can see he pulled his chariot up and he reached down in that water. He said, man, I wonder where them servants was. Told him. He got down once, twice, three times, four times. The devil says, you're crazy. You're crazy. Are not the rivers back home? Look what you're doing. You're in this bloody Calvary. Went down six times. What he don't know, what he's fixing to do, is fixing to change his whole life. Fixing to change his total way of being. And when he went down the seventh time, and he raised up, and his flesh became as a little child. You know what that Baptist mully grubbing boy said then? Oh, now. Oh, now. Now I know. Woo! Glad we got a no-soul salvation today. He said, I write these things unto you that you may know. Oh, I'm glad I'm not wondering, am I going? You listen to me, I'm a going. I'm a going to shore as a marten goes to her gourd. I'm a going. Because I know a man. What's God said to you today? Our church better watch it. We're getting too formal. We better go to using these altars again. You listen to me, sinner. I know a man that can change your situation. But you're going to have to act by faith. Obedience to the Word of God. He said you must be born again. We're saved by grace through faith. Nothing added, nothing taken away. You got to come His way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. Jesus is not a way. He's the way, friend. My God, I'm glad now I know. Now I know. Brother David, Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I sat with my son-in-law with that third pew. And I don't even know what he preached, but that morning I know what happened. When I did this, something happened, never happened. In 20 years of my life, something happened that morning and never happened. But Brother Tim, God, Brother Tim, I'm glad He saved us and put us together. Yes, Brother Adam, I'm glad He saved you and called you to preach. I'm glad He saved you at your brother's funeral so you wouldn't have to have a funeral and die lost and undone without Jesus. Brother Tim, I'm glad He saved you and Miss Deanne down yonder in a little old lonely place in the outskirts of Georgia, in a little place called Muscadine, Alabama. Only God knows where that is. I know a man. Do you need to be washed? Come. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus and He'd save you today. Mom and Daddy, I know a man can do anything that you need done. Young people, you ought to pattern your life after this little maid. You ought to come all around the building this morning as we sang. Would you come today? There's room for you. Would you come and trust Him? I'm glad I know a man that can. You come.